Welcome to Looking Back at Gawler's History Through the Pages of the Bunyip Once More for Wednesday, May the 1st. God. And I'm here in the beautiful Gawler Culture and Heritage Centre underneath the Gawler Civic Centre with Kay. So, hi, Kay.
Hello, Jeanette. Back again?
Yes.
We won't talk about the weather. It's just dry and dusty. End.
Yes. And the garden is gasping.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I'll kick off with 150 years ago, the Lady Alice Mine.
Ooh.
During the last fortnight, 506 trucks of quartz have been sent to the surface, making 140 tonnes, of which 120 have been crushed and the battery cleaned up on Saturday. The yield of melted gold is 23 ounces. About 9 feet south of the shaft, the lode became very hard, mixed up with country and poor, quite different altogether to the ground we sunk through in the shaft, and this accounts for the falling off in the yield. However, I believe the next crushing will be better. So this is obviously from an article sent from the mine itself, trying to say, well, you know, don't ditch our shares yet.
Yeah, but it's interesting, you know, you think they mine out all of that
dirt, 140 tonnes
to get 23 ounces of gold. And you think, how can that even pay for itself? But, of course, you know, my brother was, he was a geologist in the mining industry, and you just think, all those millions and millions of tonnes. And yet it seems to make money, so I don't know. Anyway.
Yes. Big spoil heaps, I suppose, as well.
Yeah. 100 years ago, pantomime Cinderella. Splendid success was achieved by the performers in the pantomime Cinderella, staged in the Gawler Institute Hall. Miss Flo L. Barnett, the promoter of the Institute Piano Fund, was the instigator of the entertainment, and through her efforts, assisted by others, 60 children were trained in singing along the lines of the well-known story of Cinderella. The principal characters were taken in most parts by adults, and supplementary items introduced made up an evening that gained its reward by the hearty applause of the big audiences assembled. Miss Flo Barnett, she was a force to be reckoned with.
She was. I was just thinking she's a excellent candidate for a little historical study.
She is.
I should
get you should
on
actually
to that
get
project.
On to her.
Yes. Yeah,
Flo, because there was. I'm reading the book Significant Women, the Gawler, and Flo Barnett wasn't in that, but I think that was more contemporary women they could interview.
Yes.
But there are the likes of Flo Barnett and Eliza Marney and all of those older women, like not older, but from an earlier era.
Or Mrs. Popham, who carried on.
Absolutely.
Her husband's practice,
well, there's three then that we could write. Yep. You can write
and
about.
The nurses who founded the hospitals.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, there's just so many amazing women in Gawler's history that have been left out. And you look through the pages of Coombe, I tried counting the number of photos of men and I just lost count. There were hundreds, but it's so easy to count the women. You can do it on one hand.
How many were there?
About two women, I think, on their own that weren't photographed with their husbands.
Yeah.
And there was one photograph of teachers, half of which were women, and I think that's about it.
Yeah.
And at one point he mentions, you know, Gawler's up-and-coming men and all these hospitals, and then it just says they were founded by women. But he just gives the credit of it to men.
Mm.
But he acknowledges they were founded by women, but he credits men.
Mm. Well, because women couldn't hold title to property. They, you know, they were just chattels.
But in the 1880s, they could.
Well, they could, but it was still unusual. Like, you know, my family, they were still very patriarchal. But anyway, that's just the way
women
they were.
And I think Helen is a good example of a woman that just carries on. Her husband dies, she just carries on. She has to.
Mm.
There are women teachers, married women teaching or running post offices.
Mm-hmm.
So the woman that ran the post office in Smithfield, her husband was a teacher.
Mm.
She was married and working. So married women did work.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of myths about what women didn't do that are...
Well, they weren't allowed to be a teacher. They were allowed to be a teacher, but as soon as they had a family, then they were expected to leave.
Well, even in the 50s, when Mum got married, she worked in the public service. They immediately started looking around for a replacement, and they were a bit shocked when she said, I'm not leaving. And she stayed on for a few years after she got married.
Yeah, good on her.
So, on to 50 years ago. Ceiling collapses. Disaster has struck again at the Evanston Sports Centre. A second of the ceiling above the dance floor in the main hall has collapsed. The damage was first noticed on Tuesday night last week by the sports centre manager, Mr. Rick Piltrovic, possibly, sorry, we're unsure of pronunciation and apologies for that, after he opened the doors to members. Late last year, the club rooms were flooded when a water main burst. The carpet had to be taken up and dried out in the big main hall. Mr. Piltrovic said this week damage in the latest incident was estimated by an official at between $700 and $1,000.
Which was a lot 50 years ago.
It was. It'd be a lot more now. I would imagine the sports centre would have been relatively new 50 years ago too, if it's the same building that's
Evanston
there now.
Evanston Sports Centre. Is that the one at the Gawler South Oval?
I'm assuming so. Could be near the school. Because there was a swimming pool down in Evanston. There was. There isn't now.
Oh, right.
But there was an indoor pool there at one stage a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
What happened to that? So
much maintenance.
Yes.
25 years ago, council homes in on pigeon problem. Note the headline, homing on pigeon problem.
Yes, yes.
Pigeons roosting on the historic buildings of Gawler's Murray Street could be a thing of the past if a funding request to attack the problem is included in Gawler Council's forthcoming budget. The pigeons have long been seen as a menace by many Murray Street business owners who are tired of the birds fouling their roofs and ledges, damaging old buildings and causing health concerns and general nuisance. Gawler Council is well aware of the problem and hopes to undertake an education campaign to combat it. What are we going to educate the pigeons? Not to breed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Oh, funny.
We had
a box gutter up the pile building where we used to work in the office there and had a box gutter. Mm. We had the office fully refurbished, new carpets, new walls, gyprock walls and everything. And about... oh, it was less than a month after we moved back in, there was a huge downpour and the pigeon blocked the gutters, the box gutters. And I remember watching the water literally flow down the walls and across the brand new carpet. And the building owner was a pig farmer from outside of Gawler. And he came in with a great big fan from out of the pig shed and set it up in the back room to try and
dry it out.
And he was sort of tramping in and out. Look, I'm not a snob. I am a snob because I'm talking about someone tramping in and out with pig shit, but there are other things you can do to get the pig shit off your feet before you start walking in and out of an office.
Just
awful. And to bring in, and then after 3 days of running this fan, which didn't do anything, he finally conceded that he needed to get someone to come in and dry it out professionally, because by doing it himself, he was saving money. And he had to actually fully refit quite a bit of it, and he was responsible for it because it was brand new, brand new. Anyway, pigeons, they are huge nuisance, and box gutters.
Yes. Bad combination.
Oh,
both
yeah.
Both of them are bad.
And there's a lot in Gawler, so,
So, 10 years ago, the 19th man. The result of Friday's Brosolite and Gawler Football Association match between Angaston and Nuyupta will be decided by league officials after the Tigers were found to have 19 players on the field. The incident occurred at the beginning of the final quarter when Angaston co-captain Greg Bain called for a head count after noticing an extra player on the field. Nui was deemed to be fielding one too many players, but as a result of recent rule change, did not lose its score. Instead, after some confusion, Angaston received a free kick and a 25-metre penalty before they continued as normal. The Tigers went on to win the match by 14 points, but the official result will be decided at an independent tribunal hearing. We're getting a lot of sports stories, aren't we?
Yes, there's a variety, isn't it? Pigeons and the Young Lady Alice.
Yes.
It's nice to have that variety.
It is good.
I hadn't actually noticed about the sports story, but now that you mention it. Oh, well, so that's it for this week,
that
Jeanette.
That is indeed. Until next week.
Until next week. Happy travelling.
Thank you. See you next week.
See you then. For all life's signs.